In a world racing toward global unity, the ancient Tower of Babel rises again in Mystery Babylon. Tonight, from prophecy to the present, we focus on the final Babel, prophecy, globalism, and God's intervention.
Prophecy, globalism, and God's intervention. Okay, those are three things. You could tell who wrote it by how many things there are that we list over there. But today we're going to be talking about the end time prophetic connections to the Tower of Babel here on Last Christian. Joel, what do you think? That's a good title, right?
Yeah, it is. It is. You know, I should have gone with that one instead of having it be created for me. You know?
Oh.
I'm getting reliant on that stuff.
Well, you can tell. You can tell AI because it has the M dash in it, and it usually comes in sets of three.
Yeah, right.
You know how this is how you can tell if it's AI written, and it's not that it's bad, but that it's easy to tell the difference.
Mm-hmm.
One of those ways is it regularly says it's not this, it's that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, and then it gives you a set of three. So what was that? It was this one thing. It was, how did it say? What did he say?
I don't even remember now.
Something or other. It was this, this, and this.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
But there's a reason for that, because when you give people three things to think about, they tend to think about them.
True. Yeah.
And there has to be three. If there's four, it gets kind of wonky.
Mm-hmm.
But three it tends to be. So you'll typically see sets of three things.
Yeah,
on there, but anyway, not that it's bad. That it's just that it's predictable.
Very much so.
Mm-hmm. So don't tell me you wrote something yourself if I can clearly see it's AI.
Right. You know, and the thing is, you know, I use AI a lot, and you know that we both do, really. Mm-hmm. But whenever I get something,
you got to correct it.
I never use it exactly the way that it comes up. I always go in there and work on it myself. But it does a lot of research for me, which saves me a great deal of time.
I think that's the best part about it is that it finds everything. And here's a pile of stuff, and I kind of organize it a little bit.
Right.
Okay,
That's great. That's it exactly.
Mm-hmm. Let me go through and figure that out. So in the meantime, let's pray, because I know there's a God who's much smarter than AI.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Father, we come to you today, and we ask for your guidance, for your leadership, as we begin this study. And it is an important study into the end times, which we know right now that we are living in. Father, we ask that this message reaches those individuals that need to hear it the most, in hopes that we can lead them to you and allow the Holy Spirit to take it from there. And we ask this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Nothing like a good chant.
There you go.
Yeah. Okay. So we were talking about end time prophetic connections to the Tower of Babel, because we're in Genesis 11 now, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's therein lies Babel. Right.
Yeah.
Didn't we talk? It was a couple of weeks ago, I think.
Yeah,
we talking
did.
About it now.
I'm going to say this one time. I'm not going to repeat it again. But the reason we haven't had a lot of news here in the last few weeks is because I had a medical issue. And David and I recorded some shows in advance to cover that time, to make sure that you guys didn't miss on anything. And so because of that, as we do the show today, we don't remember what the last one was. that was a part of this series. So we said, okay, I think this is it. And anyway, that's where it's at. So if you hear I can tell you this, it's going to be pretty much original. But if you hear some repeat or something, that's the reason why. Okay.
Well, it's like I always say, you know, I may have said this before, but I want to hear it again.
Exactly, yeah. If it's important to me, then it's got to be important to you. That's right.
So there's my story. You're going to listen to this again.
Don't
give me any guff. All right. So Genesis 11, the whole earth was of one language and one speech. Mm-hmm. We're going to get back to that later. It's going to be pretty cool.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like Google Translate. They got the earphones. You can do that now. Anyway, And it came to pass, as they journeyed from the east, that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said to one another, go, let us make brick, burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone, and slime they had for mortar. And they said, go to, let us build us a city and a tower, mm-hmm. whose top may reach unto the heaven. And let us make a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the earth. All right. It actually means make like unto the heaven, whose top is like unto heaven, not that reaches unto heaven. Although they did try and reach it, but the idea was to make it resemble the Matzaroth.
Okay.
Because Satan can't create anything new. Mm-hmm. And in verse 5, the Lord came down to see the city and the tower, and the children of men build it. And that's kind of odd. Where did he come down from?
Yeah.
Well, that's probably the mountain of Eden that they talk about, right?
Okay.
And then, he is the Most High God. And then which is why they're trying to build mountains, because they're trying to get up there. But apparently, no matter how they built it and how big they built it, he still had to come down to see it. So he must have been much higher.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lord said, behold, the people is one, and they all have one language. And this they begin to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them, which they imagine to do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Let us go down, and therefore confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech.
Okay.
So there we go.
Why exactly was the tower built, first of all? And why did God stop them from building it?
Questions. Remember that? That was Robot on
Lost
in Space. Yeah. Hey, Robot. Come on. You can come up with a better name than Robot. Call him like Bill.
Something. Yeah. Make it more personal.
Danger, Will Robinson. Danger. Danger.
I love that show.
So, actually, that's a good one. Why did they build it? They said they wanted to be like God. Now, remember, they were thrown out.
Mm-hmm.
So here they are. It's after the flood. The Nephilim, as we read in Jubilees, 10% of them are out. And they're trying to get some things going.
Mm-hmm.
They read these writings, and they're like, hey, we want to be like God. It's the same old story. Okay? They have all the people, they're coming around, and then Noah told them about the Most High God. This is the God of the Creator God.
Mm-hmm.
But they're like, no, we want to be like God. And they read the writings of the Nephilim that were from there from before, and they're like, hey, look, they made this before. Let's go build another one.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why we see the ziggurats all over the earth. Is, the best supposition I can come up with is that most likely a vast majority of them were built before the flood, because it's a mountain of God.
Well, okay. David, I'm going to stop you for a second, and this is completely off topic, by the way, but it's something I saw today, and I haven't watched this entire presentation yet. It's on YouTube, and I'm not going to tell anybody what it is, because it may be completely something you don't want to see. But there is a guy that I'm watching right now that he claims he is an ancestor of the Nephilim.
And go for him.
He goes through this deal, and he's not proud of it. He's not proud of it, okay? He's trying to get away from it, but he was talking about certain things that happened in Arizona. There's a child sacrifice and all this. I mean, it's a crazy thing, but the way he talks and the way he looks, it got my attention. Now, like I said, I haven't gone through the whole thing yet, and I'll send you a copy of it, David, once I do, and then you can see whether or not this guy's because he was talking about redemption, how he can possibly be redeemed, and that's we've talked about that a little bit before, that once somebody is no longer all human, they're unredeemable. And so, does that count for all the years since the Nephilim first happened to right now to 2025 or what? you know. So anyway, I'll send it to you.
That's a really good question. Mm-hmm. Hang on to that. Talk about Nephilim DNA. Just write that down and remind me when I'm done with this.
Okay.
Because my mind goes in 1,000 directions, as you know.
Okay.
So they built it. They didn't want to honor God for who he was. They wanted to be like God themselves. And they started to read these writings and they're like, hey, we can do this. That's mm-hmm. why it says they built a tower like unto the heavens.
Right.
They'll build a city and a tower. Mm-hmm. But clearly mm-hmm. God specifically told them to spread out. He says, I want you to diversify and fill the entire earth.
Right.
And they're like, no, we're all going to stay here in one city and we're going to do it ourselves. So God's like, okay, that's not what I told you to do. Mm-hmm. So he had to come down and he had to say, listen, you're not God. Mess up their tower, mess up their language so they can't understand each other. So now they got to spread out and, mm-hmm. and get away from each other. And then ironically, that caused, because of our sin nature, it caused men to have wars now. Now we're fighting each other when they're literally all the same family. Everyone came from Noah.
Right.
So, we're going to fight our cousins. And then you'll wonder why, you know. Mm-hmm. Now we're so far removed, we don't even realize that we're all cousins.
Yeah.
And so we're still fighting, and that's where the evil lies. He's trying to get us to destroy each other.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But that's why it was built, is they wanted to try and earn their way, not earn it, I guess, steal. They tried mm-hmm. to steal heaven back, mm-hmm. Out of the hands of the Lord. They're like, no, we can be like God without God. Again, the same whole mm-hmm. question. Mm-hmm. And God split them up because they weren't supposed to do that. They were
right.
supposed to spread around the earth mm-hmm. and become one world. Now, when he comes back and rules righteously, the whole world will be one.
Yeah.
We will have different roles and different people will do different things. Even David said, I'd rather be a doorman in heaven, you know? And so mm-hmm. apparently there'll be doormen in heaven.
Yeah, I'll probably be one of them too.
Yeah, I'll be the... Who's going to sweep the toilets? That's what I want to know.
Yeah.
All right.
You know, my place ain't going to be too high. It's just not.
Yeah, but at least I'm here.
Yeah, right, yeah.
I'll take that. As a burning in hell.
Yeah, I'll take that every day of the week and twice on Sunday. Yeah.
I'll take cleaning a toilet for eternity as opposed to burning in hell.
Absolutely.
Yeah, just go. Once a and day, you go in, you clean it, you come out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's why he said that. And then as far as being the offspring of the Nephilim, I don't know if that's necessarily the
True.
Case now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the reason is this. There were giants, but I don't think they were actually of the original DNA because they're not nearly as big. And from what I can read, let me lay this out for you. There's
okay.
Before the flood, they actually had relations with the women.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, we covered that.
So you literally had cross-pollination, and so the DNA is changed.
Mm-hmm.
After the flood, it was more of incantations to try and get the spirit to come in and be able to do things within your body to hyperdrive your body. Like mm-hmm. Nimrod was a man, but then when he started doing these things, he became a Gibbereim or mm-hmm. a strong man.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So basically, I guess you can... liken it to steroids, let's say, because
okay.
they're abnormally large. And I think that's probably more about what happened,
mm-hmm.
whereas the giants that we see now aren't necessarily full-on DNA things, unless you get to experiments like abductions and things like that.
Yeah.
And they
mm-hmm.
literally, steal the seed from someone, the aliens, if you will.
Okay. If well, like I said, I haven't viewed the whole thing yet, so I'm not really sure exactly how. But to be honest with you, he didn't look like a giant to me. He looked mm-hmm. more like a. You remember the Planet of the Apes?
Yeah,
he sort of looked like I'm one of them guys,
like a troll.
So you know, anyway, I'll send it to you, and then you know, if it's worth anything, we'll make a show out.
Yeah,
of it.
We'll talk about it.
Yeah.
We'll bring it on the other show too. You
Absolutely.
Can join us at Shadows of a Greater Reality.
Shadows of a Great. Why don't you tell people about that real quick before we?
Yeah, that's
on.
A lot of fun. We started where we brought in a good friend and colleague, Nestor Arce, who's mm-hmm. doing studies that are weirdness based, you know, cryptids and like Bigfoot and aliens mm-hmm. and these, you know, sleep paralysis, all these different fringe topics that Christians tend to stay away from. Mm-hmm. But you really can't, because they're there and they're yeah. true in the fact that they happen.
And people talk about it.
Right. Mm-hmm. So now people are trying to figure out what's going on, and the church says, oh, no, no, you're just crazy. They don't exist. You're driving mm-hmm. people away.
Right.
But what we do is we bring it all back, mm-hmm. you know. And all through history, that's all you saw is people, they had the witchcraft, but this God is better. And it's all about, you know, the divine council, okay? Mm-hmm. Bringing it, you know, back to Babylon. It's mm-hmm. a divine council. Got all these gods that are out there, but then, you know, Jesus is the most high God. He's above all the others. He's the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Mm-hmm. And he's mm-hmm. the chief. His portion was the land of Israel, but now he's going to take back the whole world. Mm-hmm. And you got to understand that, like Pharaoh said, who is this God Yahweh that I should listen to him? I got all my gods, mm-hmm. you know? So that was the narrative back then. And all through history, you see that type of mentality is people understood all these things. You go to Africa, they understand that all these witch doctors and everybody, they have powers.
Yeah.
When you teach them that Jesus has a much higher power and greater, hugely superior, mm-hmm. then they say, oh, well, I want Jesus' power yeah, instead. Yeah.
Well, it's kind of like... You
know? Unlike here in America, oh, be nice to everybody and then you'll be saved. That's well, not how it works.
What I was going to say, David, is it looks kind of like in Louisiana, you know, mm-hmm. where they have all the witch doctor stuff or whatever mm-hmm. you want to call it. You know, I mean, they're big. Yeah, I mean, you know, the I forget what you call that thing where you got a doll and you stick pins in it and all that kind
yeah,
of stuff.
Yeah, the voodoo doll.
Yeah, they believe in that really big in mm-hmm. certain parts of Louisiana, in New Orleans area, I guess, is primary. But anyway, you know, if you tell them about a higher power, yeah, they're interested in that because they want to beat the heck out of that voodoo stuff that somebody yeah. put on them.
And even the voodoo people, when they realize that Jesus has more power than that, they're like, mm-hmm. oh,
yeah,
he's got more power than this. Okay,
mm-hmm. yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's where we have to get to. We got to get to a point where we're not worshiping this stuff by calling mm-hmm. it out. And that's right. what happened. You know, what if you have, like, I got a fake $20 bill. Mm-hmm. Oh, so you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to throw out my real $20 bills because there's a fake one here.
Mm, yeah.
It doesn't make
crazy.
Any sense.
Yeah. Yeah. It's crazy.
Okay. Mm-hmm. What you got to do is examine it and check to see if it's fake.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If that one's fake, you throw the fake one out. But right. you keep the real ones.
Right. You don't want to take it into the store and get busted for it. That's for sure.
Yeah, I did that once in a gas station. Oh God, about 30 years ago now. I was so mad. Someone gave me a fake, and you could tell it's like he printed on his home computer. He just
oh
copied
boy.
It. And he had it in the stack of a bunch of other ones. Uh-huh. I was so mad that I went right to the gas station and gave it to that guy, and he didn't say a word. So I just left. I don't remember the gas station. I'd probably go back today and say, hey, where's that guy that was here 30 years ago? I owe him 20
yeah,
bucks.
Yeah, right. probably caused a stir.
A lot more
for
now.
Sure.
Think,
yeah.
You probably caused quite a stir back then. Yeah. But you can't do that. What you have to do is call out the darkness mm-hmm. and shine the light in there. You know,
amen.
And, you know, if we're just here, we are a bunch of candles hanging out with a bunch of other candles lighting up one place. Mm-hmm. What good is that? Take
right.
your candle, go into the darkness and get those people out because
right.
they're like, oh, what do those church people know? They just want to be kumbaya mm-hmm. and that's it. But they don't understand no. that, you know, I got abducted. They don't, you know, what are they going to know?
Mm-hmm.
You know, look what they did to me as a kid with this, you know, MK Ultra nonsense. Mm-hmm. And this people have been terrorized by these demons, and you have to go in and show them that there's a greater God.
Yeah. Well,
that's the whole premise of the show.
I'm going to put in one more plug, and that is for our next show. David will not be on our next show. Instead, I'm going to have our UK correspondent, Mark Sutherland, And we're going to be talking about a very, very touchy subject, which is child abduction and, well, I don't even know how to phrase it where it's appropriate at this point, but you know, the misuse of children, human trafficking, and worse. And I think it's going to be a very good show that you guys are going to need to tune into on our very next show. So look for that. I think it'll be of interest to you. I've also got one last thing, David, before we move on, then we won't have to worry about it anymore. And that is that here at The Last Christian, we rely 100% on your support to continue broadcasting the gospel message across the globe. So whether it's a one-time gift or a monthly offering, every donation, large or small, makes a real difference, and it's all fully tax-deductible. Now, you can support us by shopping with our trusted affiliates at lastchristian.net. There, when you buy, they give, and we grow. There's Everyday Dose Coffee. Start your day strong with a delicious mushroom-based coffee alternative that fuels your mind and body without the crash. We have the Conservative Store. Wear your values with pride and stock up on patriotic gear, gifts, and apparel that stand for truth and freedom. Then there's Prima Ancestral Protein Bars. Clean, natural, no-nonsense nutrition made from time-tested ingredients that your body will thank you for. And Christian Book. From Bibles to devotionals to homeschool resources, they've got everything you need to grow in faith and share it boldly. Visit lastchristian.net today to donate or shop with a purpose. And together, we're reaching the world for Christ, one message at a time. And with that, David, we'll go back to the study here today. So take us through it.
Yeah. So, and I think because it's not a DNA change now, it's just a manipulation of your body now. Mm-hmm. Okay. So I don't know if they're irredeemable, and unless you get to a point where you do have the ones that are born of these abductions.
Yeah.
And then if you're taking the mark, I think that's a DNA changer. Mm. You know, because there they are.
Yeah, that one for sure.
Mm-hmm. And therein lies their last ditch effort to, you know, make our bodies suitable for these demons that have come out.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we're there yet, too. I mean, I have some history of giants back 2,000 years ago in my history, so in the Vikings, which is interesting, but I don't know if that means they were just really big or if they were actual giants as we know them from the Bible.
Right, right.
Uh-huh. But it clearly says they were giants.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They're bigger than everybody else. And the Vikings were some pretty big guys, yeah.
So I think it was probably more than likely just that. They were just the really larger
big. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Not the biggest of the group. Yeah. All right, so they were all one language, and they basically, God said, you can't do that. That's why we have that. So next, all right. So Mystery Babylon the Great, we see that in Revelation 17 and 18. And this is a symbolic name and directly links the end time world system to Babel.
Okay.
And it has the same characteristics. Okay. You want one world government, everybody to be one, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there you go.
You know, like what was his name? Not Paul McCartney, the other one, John Lennon.
Lennon, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Lennon. Oh, imagine there's no heaven.
Yeah. I used to love that song, you know, and then I got saved. I don't listen to it anymore.
And it's like, well, here's the thing. He's not imagining there's no heaven right now. He's imagining, I wish I was in heaven.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, for real.
You know? So the characteristics, it's a global, political, economic, and religious system. It's all wrapped in one.
Yeah.
Okay, so we see that it's drunk with the blood of the saints. So that's how they get their high, and that's more than just a metaphor as well, because they really believe that the life is in the blood. So that's in Revelation 17:6. It lives in luxury and pride. It thinks, oh, who's this God that's going to come down and take us out? No way. So Revelation 18:7. And it uses the sorcery in Revelation 18:23. And we all know what that word is, right, JD?
In what? I'm sorry.
Sorcery.
Sorcery? Magic?
Yeah. Come on, you know.
Yeah.
All right. It starts with pharmakia.
Yeah, and that was a question I was going to ask you, and I'm glad you said the word, because I wasn't really exactly sure how to...
that's why we call it a pharmacy. Pharmakia.
You know, so exactly what does sorcery and pharmacia, or whatever it is, mean in Revelation? Is it the same thing as witchcraft?
It is, but it's the use of materials.
Okay.
So you get... You know, they got all these mixtures, and you mix these different chemicals. And basically, it's the same old story. You're taking God's creation, you're mixing it the way you want, it becomes an abomination, and now it's going to destroy your body.
Yeah, okay.
But sorcery, it says, the use of sorcery here, but it is pharmakia, because those drugs will actually cause you to hallucinate. They'll cause your body to open up a door to demons. Okay.
So that's, and for just for a second here, that is like would qualify like stuff like, and I've never taken this, by the way, like LSD or, you know, some kind of drug that sends you out into, you know.
Yeah. I mean, even the lighter ones, you know, we talk about, you know, taking aspirin and Tylenol. That's that's all pharmakia as well. And look what it does. It numbs your senses.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
That's the idea.
That's true.
So on that lower level, you're thinking, okay, I could survive without this pain for a little bit, but ultimately it's still pharmakia because it's dulling your senses.
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
All right. So it's there. So it's really important to discover if that's what you really want to do.
Yeah. I'm still looking for that book of medicine that God gave.
Yeah, Noah's book.
Yeah, I'm still looking for that. I even asked AI to find it for me. It couldn't find it either. I wanted real quick. We only got like a minute and a half here in the show, but in the first half. But end time globalism and one world governance. I think that's a topic that we really need to hit hard on as we go into the second half, because I think that we are at that point right now. As you look at the United Nations, you look at the International Court or whatever the heck they want to call it, and you know, all these different countries. Now they've taken the teeth away from Israel even and say, okay, well, we're going to go ahead and give Palestine a state, even though they have no land at all. We'll go ahead and recognize them as a country. That it all plays into that one world government, as far as I'm concerned. Now, maybe you'll teach a different, you know, teach it differently. I don't know, in the second half, but anyway, it's something I do want to touch on, at least for a minute or two in the second half of the show. So anyway, guys, we are only halfway through, and we've still got a lot to cover here. I've seen David's notes, and we got a long way to go. And so we hope that you guys will hang in there with us. We'll be back after a very short break with the second half of Last Christian. Hang in there. We'll be right back.
Are you ready to deepen your walk with Jesus? Join Norman Smith on Run with Horses, the weekly radio show dedicated to helping you follow Jesus well. In Jeremiah 12:5, God challenges us to pick up the pace and prepare to run with horses. Jesus calls us to take up our cross and follow him. The journey is tough, but always worth it. Tune in every Saturday evening at 7:30 p.m. Eastern, 6:30 p.m. Central on revelationradio.net for an all-new edition of Run with Horses. Explore topics like biblical discipleship, healthy marriage, and building a godly family. Don't miss Run with Horses every Saturday evening at 7:30 p.m. Eastern, 6:30 p.m. Central, right here on KRRB, revelationradio.net. For more information or to listen to past broadcasts, be sure to visit runwithhorses.net.
Break free from fear, pain, and spiritual confusion. Step into total freedom with Rena Lynn, author, speaker, and host of the bold new radio show airing Tuesdays at 7 p.m. Central on revelationradio.net. Rena Lynn brings you real talk on real issues, narcissistic abuse, spiritual warfare, and the emotional battles we all face. With biblical insight and raw honesty, she helps you confront darkness and step into healing. Explore her gripping preparation for the End book series, including the latest release, Intriguing Truth, a powerful journey of faith, trauma, and redemption. dive into her books, sign up for the newsletter, and discover upcoming challenges designed to help you walk the walk, take spiritual authority, and find your ministry. Join the movement. Find your voice. Experience total freedom with Rena Lynn, Tuesdays at 7 p.m. Central on revelationradio.net.
KRRB Grand Saline, Canton, Mineola, Texas.
Are you looking for a meaningful way to support Christian values in a world that's turning further from truth? The Last Christian Radio Show is 100% listener supported. Every broadcast, every platform, every message, we rely on you to keep the mission going. You can donate directly at lastchristian.net. Every gift matters, no matter the size. Or, here's the best part. You can help just by purchasing the everyday products you already use from our trusted partners. The Conservative Store, Everyday Dose Coffee, Prima Ancestral Protein Bars, and Christian Book, each offering quality products you'll love. And every purchase through our links helps fuel this ministry. Visit lastchristian.net today to stand with us, pray with us, and support the mission.
And here we go. Off to the races in the second half with more questions. Can I answer the last one, though, before we ask another one?
Yes, yes, sir. I'd love that.
Okay, great. All right. And what was the last one?
Thank you, David.
No, we were talking
about... I knew you were going to get me with that, but no, the globalism thing.
It's essential, you know, power.
It's happening right now. I mean, you know, you look at everything, and I mean, they're even calling it globalism. You know, it's right there. It's being presented as something that's inevitable, and in truth, it is inevitable, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think before we dig into that, some of the stuff I'm seeing today is like everywhere you look, these countries are defying all this Muslim invasion that's going on. Right. You know, they got more than half the world is Muslim land. Why are they coming into the rest of the Western area? Oh, we're seeking asylum.
Because they want
for
it
what?
All.
Go home. You tell me your land's so wonderful. You're waving the flag. Mm-hmm. Go back home. But then I actually just posted a video of the Muslim Brotherhood, and they're like, we don't have to attack lands anymore. This is how we'll do it. And this has been their goal for years now, is to just slowly invade, you know. And at first they come in and they have it all laid out. First they'll come in and they'll cry about being the minority. Mm-hmm. Oh, you got to help us. We're the minority.
Abused.
Then they get a little more power. And then they're like, oh, we should be allowed to, you know, be in government. And then and then work their way ultimately to a point where they want Sharia law and just take over. And they don't care about a minority anymore. Yeah. You're just going to do what we say or we're going to kill you. And this is their goal. People don't realize this. And they're here fighting for it. Oh, we stand with Palestine.
Did you know, David, you touched on something I've got to mention. Australia... this past week has recognized Sharia law as legal in the country of Australia. Now, that to me is a big indicator that we're getting really close to the end here.
Oh, yeah. And one of two things is going to happen. Jesus is going to come back, take all the Christians out. Or they have forgotten the fact that Australia was born out of hardened criminals.
They all have
the heritage of being the worst criminals that were exiled to this giant.
They had that big. Yeah, I remember.
Far away.
Yeah, I remember that from school. They had the big. I forget what they called it there, but an encampment.
That's basically where they sent them. So every last one of those people is a descendant of someone who's going to beat the hell out of everybody. They don't know what they're in for. They think they're going to go in and do that, and you get unbelievable. Wait till they rise up.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And don't think the Aborigines are just going to stand by. They were like, hey, these guys are cool.
Uh-huh.
So they got along well all these years.
Mm-hmm.
But if they're going to get together, the Aborigines, they know how to fight when you don't even know they're there.
Right. You don't see them coming.
And like, where? What was that? Don't worry about it.
Oh, man. Yeah.
So that's either going to end with the rapture or they're going to be very sorry they did that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But that's what I'm talking about. All this patriotism is rising up. Poland is like, there's videos all the time of Poland saying, look, no immigrants. We're Poland and we love it.
Right.
Now Greece has just done that. And then Italy is literally taking them and throwing them all out again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, which is what, and that's what we're doing. We're getting rid of the illegal immigrants.
Right.
One by one. So the whole world is doing this.
Mm-hmm.
My concern with that is that maybe this is leaning towards that whole one world thing. How we're all going to get on the side of patriotism.
Yeah.
Because I mean, that's a good idea to do that, to keep your country safe. But how many of these people they really know the Lord, or are they just patriotic?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, that's the real question. Cause I know a lot of patriotic Americans, but they are far from the Lord, you know?
Yeah. Well, now this question may or may not be on topic here, but if God scattered all these people at Babel, then why does the Bible talk about him bringing all the nations and languages together again?
Because he will rule the entire world from one location, and that would be Jerusalem. He's the king of all kings, and that will be the center of governance for everything. And matter of fact, if you don't go up and worship twice a year like you're supposed to, you don't get any rain.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, you don't want to come to, all right, no rain.
Yeah.
I need rain.
Well, you know, I always looked at, you know, the Tower of Babel thing. That was supernatural, right? I mean, it had to be for God to, you know, because everybody was speaking exactly the same language and all that, and they all live in the same location. And now all of a sudden, there's a group that speaks this and a group that speaks that, and they get scattered everywhere. So it's got to be another supernatural event, does it not? For this to come back together again.
It would have to be the return of the Lord,
right?
Okay, and then he'll say he'll restore a pure language, and like it's supposed to be. If you come to America, you're supposed to learn English, so we do everything. But what's going to be then? I presume it's going to be, you know, ancient Hebrew again.
That's what I'm wondering. Yeah, I'm thinking it's Hebrew again, and I'm glad he's just going to teach it to me. I mean, give it to me.
Yeah,
because learning a language is just not out. That's not in my ball game. I can't do it.
Well, you're gonna have a new brain at that point too.
Right. All right, I got another one for you here, this is a question that was generated. Okay, this is not my question; this was generated. But anyway, why do Christians say that false religion is dangerous? Aren't all religions basically teaching people to be good? Like I said, this is not my question. Mm-hmm. I know the answer, but
there's somebody out there that's going to ask that question.
Yeah, right.
100%. Here's the bottom line: you ain't good,
okay? Right?
Mm-hmm. And there's nobody good. There's never been one good except for Jesus.
Amen.
Okay, and that's because he was Almighty God, came down, and not with the DNA of a man, but the DNA through Mary and God the Father. Mm-hmm. So he was fully man and fully God.
Amen.
And so there is none good, none that God calls righteous. No, not one.
So
you can try and be good all you want, but you're not good. So let me ask you something. If I got, I got you a nice, crisp, clear glass of water here, right?
Okay.
Nice and clear, brand new.
Okay.
Look at that.
Yeah.
Big cup, right?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Now what if I took one drop of pee-pee and I go, boop, and I put it in there?
That's correct.
You want this?
No.
You can drink my water?
I will pass.
No,
I will
you
pass
sure?
I'm positive.
No, it's just one drop. Look how many other
one
drops
drop too
there
many.
Are of pure water.
One drop too many, David. Oh. I can't do it.
Okay, so one drop of sin, no matter how much water you have in that glass of yours, it's no good.
Yeah. You know, that is the best analogy I think I've ever heard on that, because, you know, you have a lot of people that, you know, they argue about how good somebody is and what all the great things that they've done, and without understanding that, like you said, the Lord says, no, not one, is you know, without sin, except that one, which happened to be, of course, Jesus Christ. But, you know, that's a great analogy because, you know, people don't understand, at least people that haven't accepted the Lord yet, do not understand how somebody can be so good and give away so much money and do all these wonderful things and still go to hell, you know, mm-hmm. but it's because they ignored the one thing that they needed to do, which was, of course, accept Christ as their Lord and Savior.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's, and they got pee-pee in their glass.
Yeah, right?
That's the bottom line. Uh-huh. We love to read John 3:16, right? For God mm-hmm. so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. Whoever so believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Mm-hmm. But you ever read John 3:18 right after he said that?
If you haven't, I can't quote it exactly, but you know, if you haven't accepted Christ, you're doomed already. Something
yeah,
like that.
That's yeah, that's the one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
mm-hmm. and no one reads that. It's like, yeah. Why don't we do that? It says, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already.
Condemned already. That's it, yeah.
Because uh-huh. he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son. So people mm-hmm. say, oh, well, Jesus is throwing you into hell because you're not worse, blah, blah, blah. He's a tyrant. No, you're already condemned. Correct. That's on you.
Yeah.
He's offering you a way out. Mm-hmm. That's the bottom line.
So yeah, imagine, you know, being in water or something, you're drowning, and you put your hand up, you know. I mean, yep. you're waiting on somebody to grab it, you know, and there's yeah. somebody there that will
drown me. No, yeah, you didn't.
There's somebody there that's going to grab your hand, but you don't like that individual. So you say, no, I'll pass on that. I'll go ahead and die. You know, it's pretty mm-hmm. stupid, but, you know, that,
yeah. That's what happened. It did mm-hmm. that. So yeah. But then legally, why does that happen? Or these religions teach you how to be good. Bottom line is the wages of sin is death. You mm-hmm. are not good. Okay. At some point, you violated one or more of the terms and conditions of the original contract.
I bet it was a bunch more than one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And the short story on that is you're trying to be God without God.
Right.
You're saying, I could be God without you. Mm-hmm. Well, therein lies your sin. You've missed the mark, which is what mm-hmm. sin means. You completely mm-hmm. missed the mark. So you're condemned. You're doomed. So the terms mm-hmm. and conditions say, you know, don't eat that of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That's basically mm-hmm. what it is. Mm-hmm. The knowledge of good and evil comes from God, and you're trying to eat it without him. You're trying to be like God without God. Therein lies your sin. And the more you say, he's a tyrant God, well, then there you are, trying to be God without God. Mm-hmm. So therein lies your sin. That's the irony of it.
Yeah.
So he came down, and he paid off that contract. So you can have a religion that says, hey, you know, spin the wheel and count the beads and do whatever a million trillion times.
Yeah, it doesn't work.
But your sin still has to be paid.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to pay for this. But that's the deal. Jesus came down and became a man, and he paid for it.
Yeah.
And said, okay, now it's paid.
Yeah.
Now you come with me, and now you have a new contract.
Mm-hmm.
Because I paid off that old one. I have the new one. Here it is.
Yeah, and just to interject here again, Christians sin.
Mm-hmm.
Newsflash, Christians continue to sin. We all do. But
until we're resurrected.
What you are trying to do is you are trying not to do that, and you are trying to follow Jesus. You're going to fail, but he's there to pick you up and just keep on going. You know, just mm-hmm. admit that sin. Confess that sin, ask for forgiveness for that sin, and move on with it, you know, and grow and learn from it and try never to repeat that one, at least, again. Now, look, David, one thing, you know, I was talking about the convergence again, the language coming back together, and mm-hmm. I talked to you about this before the show even started, that this is a book of the Bible I forgot about. Honestly, when I got this, I was like, oh, well, is that really a book in the Bible or is that another one? And I'm talking about Zephaniah. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked it up real quick, and sure enough, Zephaniah is there, and it's even got three chapters, but I couldn't remember this thing, but it talks about what we're dealing with today. For then I'll turn to the people a pure language that they may call upon the name of the Lord. So this is a reversal in the mm-hmm. end times of what was done, unifying the faithful under his name. So this is unifying the faithful under his name. That's the part that I wanted to get to with you. What's the scoop on that? Doesn't sound like it's everybody in the world. It sounds like it's the faithful.
Yeah, well, you've heard of speaking in tongues, and mm-hmm. For those who would say, "Oh, the gifts have ceased," they haven't. The gifts are wedding gifts, and they are for you to admire and use for his purposes until the bridegroom comes back to get mm-hmm. us. Mm-hmm. It's as simple as that. So if you're going to say, it's like Jesus comes down and says, "Hey, we're going to get married. This is going to be great. And listen, here's some gifts for you." And so Eliezer brought gifts to Rebecca on behalf of Isaac. What if she just took all those pearls and necklaces and all this stuff and then put them in a box and just they got all dusty over in a corner, mm-hmm. you know, or threw them out? Say, "Oh, that's, you know, that was old. That they cease now." Mm-hmm. And she throws them out, and he comes back and says, "Hey, where's all those nice gifts I got you?" And like, "Are you really waiting for me? What is going on here?"
Right.
So you got a problem if you think the gifts have ceased. Because those are wedding gifts, and he wants you to use them until the day he returns. Mm-hmm. And that's actually borne out in Scripture. There'll come a time where we don't need them anymore in that sense, because it'll just be part of us now. Hey, but they came, and now it's part of the wedding. It's part of the marriage. It's just part of you now, as opposed to these gifts that come upon you from the Holy Spirit for you to look at. And so, that's cool. But I think more so when we see Pentecost. Remember that day?
Yes.
So, and they all started talking, and they're like, "This guy talks like he's from my neck of the woods." Mm-hmm. They're all like, they speak in our own tongue. They're like, literally, you know, if they're down south, they said, "Oh, y'all want some sweet tay?"
It's like, or youth guys up in New York.
Youth guys. "Hey, forget about it. You know, I come over here." It's like, "Hey, forget about it. Jesus is coming back. Don't worry." I was like, "Listen, I got a guy, okay? I got a guy. He's going to come back. He's going to fix his place. Don't worry about it."
I love it.
So, it was literally talking in their dialect. That's what they were.
That had to freak them out. I'm just going to say, that just really had to freak them out at first. And then come under the realization, you know, and I'm sure that the Holy Spirit planted that in them almost immediately. This is of divine intervention here. Because, and we've talked about this on previous shows, in the past, before Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came down in like a dove, the best. That's, you know, from Jesus' baptism, I'm pulling that from. But the Holy Spirit came down upon someone, and now the Holy Spirit comes inside and inside people. It's a completely different and more permanent thing.
We're at the temple now. We're going to do a whole study on the temple too. So that's
okay. Good. Okay.
Okay. So, but this was the prophet Joel prophesied this.
Okay.
You know, in the last days, and it says, "So come to pass in the last days." Well, Pentecost was the beginning of the last days. Mm-hmm. The last days being this final age. It just happens to be 2,000 years long, but in metaphorical prophecy terms, it's the beginning of the last days. So we're going to see that the all the signs and wonders are always bunched up at the ends of these things. So we saw lots of signs and wonders when the church first started, and then they're scattered throughout. But then here we are coming to the end. We're going to see way more signs and wonders. There's going to be miracles, and there's going to be all the more and more tongues. I can't tell you. Every day I'm hearing of another dozen or so people that had a rapture dream. Even a friend of mine called me today, and he's talking about his wife, and she's like, she's just, "Okay, we're going to build our family, this, that, and the other." Never rapture centric at all. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden she has a rapture dream. I said, add her to the list, you know. There's all these people with these rapture dreams. All these young men will dream and visions, and old men will have visions. And so we're going to see people. And my wife had a vision just a short while ago. So we're starting to see all these bunch up again, which means that we're that much closer to the end. But then that was just a foretaste of everybody being able to understand each other again at Pentecost.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
When Jesus comes back, it will be a full culmination of the whole thing, and we'll all speak that one pure language that he talks about in Zephaniah.
Mm-hmm. That's going to be so cool. But now, David, why in the world does the Bible talk about Babylon in Revelation? You know, I mean,
it's the same system.
It's really the system. It's not the city of Babylon, right?
Right. It's centered in Babylon, and and it will be, you know, a city again, so it can be destroyed. Mm-hmm. and they're thinking of putting a UN there, as a matter of fact. How fitting is that?
Yeah, they can have it.
Yeah,
I'm supportive of that.
Okay. And that may be pre or post rapture. And most of the teachings out there is that the rapture is the trigger for the tribulation period, but I would contend that it is not the trigger.
Yeah.
But in fact, the signpost for what's coming ahead, and the trigger is actually the signing of the peace agreement. That's 7 years exactly.
I agree with you on that 100%, whereas I would have argued with you about it 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. But it really makes sense. I don't care if if we as Christians vanish, or if we wait and go up later, and we've had discussions about that, and we really need to do another show on that, I think. But it really doesn't matter. You can't tell me that the world will immediately go into all this stuff, that the Antichrist pops up the second after and declares himself.
Like all of a sudden.
Just doesn't. That doesn't make any sense. There's got to be some time involved here.
They have to reel and roll from it. They got to argue. They got to finally come to a conclusion. Yeah. Hey, remember what happened a few years back?
Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah.
You know, I would have argued the point a couple of years ago. I don't now. I truly believe that there is going to be a time frame there. How much of the time frame? We never set times on this show, ever. Never set times on it.
When the show is going to come out on YouTube.
Yeah. Right. That's about it, David. That's about it. And a matter of fact, our show time is going to be changing soon. We're going to be going on about 30 minutes earlier. For all you stations out there, you'll get your notice. But we are going to go about 30 minutes earlier. All right. Go ahead, David. I'm sorry to interrupt you on that.
No, you're not. there has to be that time of chaos in between, and that's when we're going to see the actual mystery Babylon come out, and the one world governance, because it was one world back then. They didn't want to leave. They all wanted to be one, because this Nimrod dude wanted to rule over everybody. So that's what we're going to have. We're going to have the rapture is going to be, because we're the restrainer.
Right.
Matter of fact, there's been discovered actual Hebrew books of the New Testament, okay, all written in Hebrew. Now, that's not to say that they were originally written in Hebrew, although they could have been, but these were actually from the time they were translated immediately. So they were translated into the Hebrew. But here's the thing. When you're translating, and you have the people right next to you, you can ask them what they meant and translate it perfectly and say things a little differently because of the lost in translation idea.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Okay. So now you can get a clearer understanding because someone rephrased it.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Saying the same thing, but it's rephrased from the Greek into the Hebrew. Mm-hmm. And I got to tell you, if you read that Hebrew books of the New Testament, you're going to see 100% that they were very pre-trib. Were like, the Lord is coming back now. Matter of fact, us disappearing, all those verses, it talks about the restrainer. It's clear who the restrainer is. It's the Holy Spirit in the church. Very clear in the Hebrew one.
Okay.
When it says the falling away, everyone said, the falling away. No, they were clear. That was the departing. Okay. That was the church leaving the earth. That is what is going to prepare the people for the wrath that is coming.
Yeah. Okay.
So that lends a lot of credence to the idea of, hey, the rapture is not the trigger for the tribulation.
Yeah.
But a signpost, so people are now starting to prepare. Oh, they told me about this rapture. You know what? That means the 7 years is coming up. Mm-hmm. They got time to prepare for the wrath that is coming. And it's very, very, very clear in the wording of the Hebrew versions of the New Testament books.
Yeah,
so okay. I think we'll get into that too. Every time you turn around, you think you got the whole Bible figured out. God says, oops, I forgot this.
Yeah, I forgot here. Zechariah, that's for sure. So, yeah, okay.
Yeah, it's in the book of Hezekiah.
Oh, yeah, that'll get
what?
Yeah, look that one up.
and part of all this, let's zip on back, is the one world government, because mm-hmm. Satan wants to rule everybody, hence the whole mark of the beast. Everybody's got, they can't buy or sell, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. There's going to be a lot of resistance to that,
yeah.
Let me tell you, but that's the goal. That's mm-hmm. what they want to do, is mm-hmm. make this a one world government again.
Yeah.
But as soon as it's almost at that point, just like last time, they mm-hmm. almost built that city.
Yeah.
Nothing's going to be impossible.
Mm-hmm.
It's at that 11th hour that Jesus returns and says, surprise.
Yeah.
I win.
Yeah.
And he takes over.
Well, I
that's
going to
take a transition period as well.
I think we're getting really, really close to this, David.
The
world is coming together, and the way that I'm looking at it, you can tell me what your opinion is on it, but the way I look at it is that the world is coming together for one bad reason, and that is to be mm-hmm. anti-Israel. I mean, that's really, you know, if you look at all the different countries, that seems to be the one thing that they all agree on, Israel bad. Why?
Yep.
Doesn't matter. Israel bad. That's it. Kind of like Donald Trump's bad. And I'm not trying to get political here, but the thing is, you know, you got one party that is focused on one individual, you know, the Trump derangement syndrome or whatever you call it. But mm-hmm. What do you think, David? I mean, it appears to me like the whole world is coming together against Israel. That's what's unifying the world.
Israel is God's time clock.
It's right.
As simple as that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So if you have the church replace Israel, then, well, there goes your time clock.
Right.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So now you're into preterism. Now you're into allegories. Now you're into, you know, you misinterpret the entire word and you have no idea where you are. And and here we are, just a random body of people that are all trying to be nice to each other with no real substance or salvation. Mm-hmm. Hey, let's be nice to each other and fight the bad guys and we'll survive this, you know?
Yeah.
And they're building all their survival tents and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And we're just going to be better than those people.
Yeah.
It's way more than that, folks. We're our kingdom is not even of this world.
Correct.
So listen, the king is coming. We're ambassadors. You know, even Abraham, as rich as he was, say he dwelt in tents because he was looking for the city that was to come.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Imagine that. It just, you know, and he himself had 318 armed Green Beret. I mean, I don't know do we have that many in the United States?
I don't think so.
And he's like, oh yeah, we're just here for a little bit, but the city of God is coming. That's where we're going to go.
Right.
So
right.
That's where we're at. But if you get rid of Israel, then you get rid of the prophecies. Then Satan thinks he won, so that's his whole end goal, because they know they have no chance of salvation, none.
Right.
Okay,
right.
So their only hope in their own eyes is if they just take over.
Yeah.
You know, let me just take over creation. I'll destroy mankind. I'll destroy Israel. This way the prophecies won't come true, and I win, and I can steal all this stuff that God made. Now, we know that's not going to happen, but that's their end goal, because that's all they have left.
Amen.
Which is why they keep on fighting the way they do. And this is why they want to demand their laws, and they have to force people into it. And this is why Jesus has to come back with that mighty double-edged sword and just wipe everything out. And Amen. Then he takes over and rules righteously.
Come with us.
Yep. So here's the idea. He's coming back soon. We really want you to come with us, okay? Basically, just take the contract that says, I'm on your side with you. Thank you for saving me from my sins. We're going to talk more about Babylon next time. Lord willing, we'll see you guys. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to The Last Christian Radio Show, where biblical truth meets headline reality and prophecy is never fiction. We're on the air every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday night at 8:30 Eastern, 7:30 Central, boldly proclaiming the gospel and warning a world on the brink. But we can't do it alone. Your support makes the mission possible to speak the truth, reach the lost, and prepare the world for the return of Jesus Christ. Visit lastchristian.net and help us continue broadcasting the unfiltered, uncensored truth to the nations. Whether it's a one-time gift or by shopping through our trusted partners, every action you take fuels the message. So stay informed, stay bold, and above all, stay ready, because the trumpet could sound at any moment. Until next time, good night and God bless.